Our scripture this morning is from Acts, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house."
And from Mary Lee Burris's History of Covenant, page 5, paragraphs 2, 3, and 4. Covenant has always been characterized as having strong feelings of community, and as a matter of fact, community is considered by many to be our most attractive feature. Early covenant had a particularly strong intellectual bent, but a number of encounter groups in the early 1970s created communities that were more focused on feeling. Deacon groups were also established in the early 70s to create many communities within the church, and church suppers, retreats, informal camping trips, book groups, and other social groups organized from time to time and have strengthened ties between members of this community. And community is what we continue to nurture as we move from being a small church, the pastoral model, to one that is more of a program church. Many of our members have grieved that we can no longer share celebrations and concerns after church as in previous times because there are too many of us and the acoustics in the narthex are so bad. Others still yearn for the days when we could serve communion as we stood in a circle in the sanctuary. Many regret that we now have two services and we can't worship together. This is obviously dated, we're back to one for now. We try to counter those losses by meeting more often in deacons groups, but even those are getting bigger and bigger. We are hopeful that a multi-purpose gathering area in our new building, the Fellowship Hall, will encourage activities that cultivate feelings of community. Worship, education, mission, and community. This is Covenant. We invite you to be part of our grand experiment of trying to be a 21st century church in an urban setting in the Bible Belt. Who knows what or who will be on the cover of Time magazine in the coming year, but Covenant will continue to be a meeting place for us to explore the myriad issues that will no doubt confront us as we continue our faith journey into middle age. These are our sacred stories.
Thanks be to God.
As you heard me read earlier, Mary Lee concluded her history of covenant with these words: worship, education, mission, and community. This is covenant. We invite you to be part of our grand experiment of trying to be a 21st century church in an urban setting in the Bible Belt. Who knows what or who will be on the cover of Time magazine in the coming year, but Covenant will continue to be a meeting place for us to explore the myriad issues that will no doubt confront us as we continue our faith journey into middle age. What did our founders dream? Our very first order of worship from May 16th, 1965 contained an invitation which reads, "This church now exists in spirit, without a name, or a permanent location, proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Lord of life and as the fulfillment of God's love for humans. This is a Baptist church which looks to the future with hope, with the intention of being Christian in matter of life, scriptural in matter of faith, and contemporary in matter of mission. It goes on to invite people interested in joining the church that was then forming to sign the guest book. This church, our church, now exists in more than spirit, with a name and a permanent location. We're still concerned with proclamation, with scripture, and with being contemporary, and we're still looking to the future. What is our dream? We don't dream in isolation. We're part of the dreams that came before and were anchored to the promises made 59 years ago. And there are dreams yet to come, visions that haven't happened yet. Always this dreaming, this visioning, always it is together. We've been reading from the book of Acts and Mary Lee's History of Covenant this Lent. Acts tells the story of the church that once existed only in spirit, the church becoming something more, sorting out how to serve at table and how to serve the word and all of the details, sorting out especially who is welcome. We read a couple of weeks ago the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip joins the eunuch in his carriage, and they ride along together discussing a passage from the Bible. As a sexual, religious, and racial minority, perhaps the Ethiopian eunuch expected to be rejected by Philip and by this newly forming church. But instead, he's fully included. He signs the guest book, going so far as to be baptized in the little bit of water they find on that wilderness road. Today we're reading from Acts chapter 11. This is Peter telling about what's just happened in previous chapters, where Peter's invited by Cornelius, a Roman centurion, to come and preach. Peter, being religiously observant, does not want to go, because he knows that such a journey will involve violating kosher food laws. He has a vision, and he sees a whole zoo full of animals, some kosher and some not, and the voice of God tells him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And you heard Peter protests, "No, Lord, never have I eaten anything common or unclean." And God answers, "What God has declared clean, who are you to call unclean?" Peter is awakened from his vision by a knock at the door. It's an embassy from Cornelius asking Peter to come and preach. The Spirit breathes expansion and welcome, and so Peter goes. He goes proclaiming, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, everyone who loves God and does what is right is acceptable to God." And many, many, many more people sign the guest book, and the new church continues to become. In chapter 15, before the ink is even dry, the same question is raised again. Who is welcomed? Who is included in the love of God? A conference is called. What we need is a business meeting. The conference is about what to do about the Gentiles who want to follow Jesus. Should they become Jews first? I mentioned this last week when we discussed Lydia and Paul. What are their rules? Paul and Barnabas have their say, and then Peter reminds everyone of his vision, of how the Spirit moved among the people when he went with Cornelius. Peter says, "Beloved, you know how in the early days God made choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness, giving them the Spirit just as God did to us. And God made no distinction between them and us." that spirit. We're all familiar with the lines from Acts 1 where Joel is quoted. In those days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit. And the spirit has been poured out again and again, and welcome has been expanded. Those days happen over and over. The spirit blows and distinction is washed away. There is no more male and female, slave and free, Jew and Gentile. The spirit blows and there's a toppling of ancient hierarchies, a sweeping away of boundaries of race and class and sexual orientation. The spirit moves and blows and doors are ever opened. In our 59 years as a church, much like that earliest church we read about in Acts, we have expanded our welcome. We were formed out of a desire for racial equality and a strong belief in civil rights. We practiced ecumenism from the very start, never requiring rebaptism for membership, always including everyone in the ritual of communion. Within the first decade, we welcomed women as deacons and worship leaders. By the 1980s, we had a same-sex weddings, many same-sex weddings here, and by the 90s, we publicly declared our welcome and affirming stance, something that had long been true. We just said it publicly. We welcomed children into our quiet, calm worship by adding a time for children and seeking to involve them in worship leadership. Our guest book has been signed by many, continues to be signed. Just this last week, we welcomed a new member. The spirit blows and welcome is extended. I wonder, and don't you? I wonder where the spirit will blow next. I wonder how our environmental justice theme this year will open us further and expand our welcome and capacity. Where will we, like Paul and like Peter, find our narrowness corrected and blown open? Where will the Spirit's visioning take us next? I can't wait to find out. I'm grateful that we're together for wherever and however the Spirit continues to blow and expand and create among us. Jan Richardson, in her poem, When We Breathe Together, writes, "This is a blessing we cannot speak by ourselves. This is a blessing that comes when we leave behind our aloneness, when we gather together, when we turn toward one another. This is a blessing that blazes among us when we breathe together." My friends, we have left behind our aloneness. We've come together again and again. We're breathing together, listening to the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to inspire our creativity, our capacity, our openness. We're turning toward each other and toward the world, extending welcome and hospitality, wondering together, expanding together. In 1965, a group of dreamers began a church, first in spirit, without a name or a place. 59 years later, we are still dreaming, still expanding our welcome, still proclaiming together the inclusive love of God, still wondering who and how we might become, still offering ourselves to each other, to this community, and to the world. So come, Spirit, come. Amen.